When I pull up to the parking lot, it's time to level up. Dial in, showing out for your team. Listen up, get you some, I stand the fan to give you what you need. Fan fuel, game time, turn up the intensity. Team colors bleeding out, 5-hour energy. For a limited time, get the fan fuel flavor at 5hourenergy.com.
This holiday, BMW has reunited three members of the family at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. The Agile X3, engineered for any adventure. The plug-in hybrid X5, commanding the streets with unmatched presence. And the all-electric i4, charging into the future with impeccable performance. Hurry in to find what powers your journey at the BMW Road Home Sales Event. BMW, the ultimate driving machine. Hurry in for exceptional offers through January 2nd. Visit BMWUSA.com for details.
Hey, y'all, it's Chip Patterson from the Cover 3 Podcast, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. College football is about to enter its first ever 12-team playoff era, so join me, along with Tom Fornelli, Danny Cannell, and Bud Elliott, as we drop new episodes five times a week to close out the year. We've got reactions, bracket breakdowns, and best bets for these matchups with championship stakes. Follow and listen to the Cover 3 Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Uptown, baby. Uptown. All right. Inside the 9 o'clock hour on the Fan in New York. I'm watching this game. Shout out to Peter Schwartz. I was just talking to him about the long snapper from Notre Dame. Works out with his son. I'm like, that's so cool. Like, I don't know. I played college football. As you know, oh my God, Keith McPherson, stop talking about yourself playing college football. Listen, I'm on air for 5 hours. It's going to come up when we talk football. But I say it because, like, we see Notre Dame, right? We see Indiana. We don't think about how these kids each came from some high school. These kids each came now from other colleges. These kids all come together to make the collective brand that has so many fans and so many people betting on and so many people watching. I always love to hear the little stories. Like, even before the game, they showed, now I'm blanking on his name, the linebacker that transferred from James Madison University, where I went, to Indiana to follow Kirk Cignetti. So, like, Kirk Cignetti has a lot of kids from Harrisonburg, Virginia, that played for the Dukes, where I signed my letter of intent, on this Indiana team. So that's why I lean Indiana. You know, just some little nuggets for you, man. I mean, I'm washed. I didn't make it to the NFL. I just wish I was a little younger. I would have loved to play when there's NIL money. I would have loved to play even with the transfer portal. I transferred from James Madison to Monmouth University. I had to sit out a year. That was whack. Like, that, it sucks to, like, sit out a year, lose a year of your, like, young athleticism and eligible. Like, those were the rules, though. The NCAA used to be so backwards. And, you know, shout out to these kids now. They're getting it, man. And, you know, here we are with a college football playoff. When I played, there was already a playoff, a 16-team playoff in, you know, the FCS conference, not the FBS conference. And I knew they were going to get to the point where they would expand like this. It's amazing to see. We got a Friday night football game between number 10 seed Indiana versus number 7 seed Notre Dame. The first time they've ever played a December game in South Bend, and it's in-state rivals, right? I don't know. To me, that is cool. 888-808-1019. Let's take these calls before we bring in Art Stapleton on the Fan. Robbie is out in Brooklyn. What's up, Robbie? You got it.
Hi, Keith. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for calling.
Good. Keith, before I talk about Aaron Rodgers and the Jets, can I just make my point about the Yankees?
Yeah.
Okay. The first thing I'd like to say is that Juan Soto didn't take the Yankees to the World Series. The Yankees took Juan Soto to the World Series. Mm. Let's put that right out there. Okay.
Yeah, it's
those
a team.
Guys were fantastic. They had a beautiful season. And they, the Yankees, put together that season, not Juan Soto.
Yep.
Okay, secondly, the Jets. The problem with the Jets has always been, for the past few years, their management, not their quarterback. I can give you perfect examples. Joe Flacco spent a lot of time face down in the turf when they had no protection and they had no plays. Every single quarterback that the Jets had for the past 6 years have been laying first down, face down,
Mike
in
White.
The turf.
Yep. Zach Wilson.
And a simple procedure like first and goal on the 1 yard line, instead of running the ball four times and forcing it into the end zone, they had Mike White throwing into interception.
Yeah, run the ball. You got to hand it off. And now that they got Braylon Allen, it's just like, you know, short yardage, run the ball. Thanks for the call, Robbie. 888-808-1019. Richard out in Ronkonkoma. You're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith. First time calling you.
Hey,
but I've always tried to call you. Just never can get in.
Yeah. I'm
a long-time fan. Long-time fan.
I
way
appreciate
back
it.
When.
Thank you.
And I was sports official, umpire, all things, coach, everything. But anyway, with the Yankees, right? Now, Juan Soto, he wrote Aaron Judge's balls. I hate to say it like that, but, yo, man, if you weren't hitting in front of Aaron Judge, you weren't getting all those freaking, like, walks and this and crap. And then this bull crap that he does, thing that he does, he looks at the pitcher, like, he looks the pitcher down.
Yeah.
Yo, man, if that was Bob Gibson would have drilled his ass.
Yeah, Roger Clemens.
Nolan
Ryan. There's a lot of guys that would have just been like, okay, you're not going to shuffle on me. I'm going to back you off the plate. I'm going to teach you a lesson, but you can't do that now.
Right. Well, you can't do that now, but they can walk him. Why? Then try to walk him and hit him.
I would hit him and give him his base. Before Soto was a Yankee, I hated the shuffle.
You want that base? Okay, I'm going to make you earn that base. It's going to hurt, but I'm going to make you earn it. You know what I'm saying? And the Yankees, they don't need him. They had the MVP, Aaron Judge. Are you kidding me?
Well, they're going to need something to replace him because the difference between 2022, 2023, and what we had in 2024 with him, they'll be all right without him. One guy's not going to break the team, but they got to get some other bats in that lineup to replace that production.
No. Like I said, they're putting it together. You know what I'm saying? They are putting it together.
Yeah, they got time.
They're piecing it together, and it's going to happen because. Ain't one player wins a baseball game. I've been doing this too long, 40 years. Ain't one player ever going to win a
Trout
baseball game.
Mike Trout and Ohtani, they couldn't even get to the postseason. Ken Griffey Jr., when I was a kid, I'm like, this is the best baseball player I've ever seen. Couldn't get it done.
Exactly. You know,
Barry Bonds can hit you 70 home runs. Doesn't mean he's going to hit him in the World Series and get you a ring.
That's why I said, if this team is still going to be good, I would love to see the Mets and the Yankees in the World Series next year. Let's see what happens.
Yeah, the Mets fans were telling me it was going to happen this year. Thanks for the call, Richard. I was on the Fan telling, be careful what you wish for, Keith. Subway Series coming. Oh, yeah, I don't want that. Why wouldn't I want that? I work at the Fan. I live in New York. Why wouldn't I want both teams in New York to go from missing the postseason to being in the World Series? Oh, because we swept you in the regular season. That doesn't matter. Steve is in Stamford, Connecticut. Steve, you're on the Fan.
How you doing, Keith? I enjoy the show.
Thanks for calling.
So,
appreciate it.
I'm a long time, my pleasure, long time Yankee season ticket holder. And I, you know, 2 points. And I'm curious because I have a direction. First of all, I love the pivot that Cashman's done. I've been critical of him in the past. But when you can make the moves that he's made and bring in a pitcher like Fried and a closer like Devin Williams and get a Bellinger who helps us in so many spots and flexibility, I think he deserves a lot of credit for Plan B.
Yes.
And I also think Hal deserves a lot of credit for going to the mat to get that.
Yes.
I can't say on the radio, but to give the guy $750 million offer to play at the best franchise in the world, fans that showed
surprise
him
me.
Appreciation.
I would have stopped at 700. I thought we were getting to ridiculous heights when I heard everybody was over 700 million. To see that he went 16 years, 6-7, I'm like, this is a guy that heard the fan base and knew how the fans would react, and he tried. And ultimately, John Sterling came on with me and said this. He's like, well, clearly he didn't want to be a Yankee. If $760 million, someone's trying to pay you $760 million to be a Yankee, then you don't really want to be a Yankee.
Or win. And how about the fact that it was a much easier path? There's no Braves. There's no, you know, who aren't healthy last year. There's
it
no
was
Phillies.
Always
there's
about
no Dodgers.
The largest number, the record. Him and Scott Boras had that in their mind. Thanks for the call, Steve. It was always Scott Boras, the agent, Juan Soto, the player, and the richest owner in the sport. As soon as he came in, those guys put their hands together and said, ha ha, we're going to break the record. We're going to have such a ridiculous contract. And there's only one guy that is going to keep going up and up and up and up and not stop until he landed the player. Congrats to Steve Cohen. Congrats to the New York Mets. Congrats to Juan Soto, Scott Boras. Let the games begin. I can't get to opening day soon enough. Danny's in Orange County. Danny, you're on the Fan.
Hey, Keith, what's going on? How are you? Merry Christmas. Happy New Year.
Merry Christmas. I'm good. Thanks for calling.
I just want to say before I get started, man, the music selection of this radio station is off the chizane. I just want to piggyback off that last caller, man. I think Brian Cashman, I'm pretty satisfied with this year going into spring training, going into the rest of the year with the pieces we picked up. I think initially it was, all how trying to get Soto. That didn't pan out. We turned the page. Everybody that's calling or you're interacting with that's talking about Goldsmith being washed up. Goldsmith is the key to 2025 series season. I love what Brian Cashman's been doing. He's the guy that's put all these championship teams together from the 96 Yankees, 98, 2000, 2009. And Cashman, we trust. Love you, man. Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
Thanks for the call, Danny. 888-808-1019 if you want to call and, get your place in the line. Moose, Jarvis, Mario, hold on, guys. Right now, we're going to get Art Stapleton. We already did the conversation around the Jets. Now, we got to bring in Art to do the conversation around the Giants. You'll hear that next. Keith McPherson on the Fan. We'll be right back after this. And we're back. Thanks for listening. Thanks for calling. You guys got to hold on. Joining us right now, my guy Art Stapleton, covering the GM for NorthJersey.com, USA Today. You guys know Art. He's been on the Fan a bunch. Thanks for joining us, Art.
What's up, Keith? How you doing, man?
Good, good. You want to start Giants or you want to go to the Yankees talk?
I have a feeling you could do the Yankees talk, the KM to AM all night. So we'll stick a little Giants.
Okay, great. So, who's, we don't know who's flying the drones, but we know who's flying the planes. And who's going to fly a plane all the way down to Atlanta while they play in a dome and we can't see the airplane?
Yeah, well, I would imagine the TV cameras might find it if it says something interesting. But it's not 1978, It's really a weird thing, Keith, I got to be honest. I mean, I think from my perspective, I respect the fans who are paying their money and really frustrated with the product that the Giants have put out there for almost a decade and a half at this point. But I think that's kind of misplaced with this whole plane thing. I think the New York Post, my buddy Mark Canizaro, had talked to somebody who was one of the originals who rented the plane back in 78. And, he said they kind of copycatted us a little bit. And I don't know necessarily if it's having the same kind of impact. I mean, you had one fan allegedly paid for this last one, and there was a group of almost 100 fans that got together in 1978, and I don't think any of us can truly appreciate what that was like to actually get a group of fans to put money in a kitty to rent a plane for a banner. So I just don't see the comparisons in terms of what they're trying to do. But listen, fans are frustrated. Giants fans are not happy. So this is the world we are living in right now.
Yeah, I think Tiki Barber had the best line when he said, you guys are flying planes over the stadium 2 years ago. You went to the playoffs and won a game. Fly a plane for the team that hasn't gone to the playoffs in 14 years.
Yeah. It's one of those things, but, Giants fans, and rightfully so, they don't want to hear about it. I can appreciate where Tiki's coming from. I heard him that day, too, in the afternoon. It's one of those things where it's like, the Giants fans, even in the beginning of the season, didn't want to hear about the history, didn't want to hear about 100 years, mm-hmm. didn't want to hear about the four Super Bowls, didn't want to hear the fact that the Giants are the only team to win a Super Bowl in each of the last four decades. Yeah. I mean, that's the reality of it. But, there's been a lot of bad football, a lot of bad decisions, and a lot of change in a short period of time, Keith. And I think that is what I think everyone is trying to kind of come to a reality of what's real and what is caused by just the constant change and the turnover. And, you mentioned the Yankees in the open, when you brought me on. Everybody wants Cashman gone. Oh, Cashman's got to go. It's like, well, somewhere along the line, the Giants kind of have to stick with what they have. Yeah. To see if they could turn a corner and get somewhere where they're not just changing for the sake of, you know what, these guys didn't work out 2 years in a row, we got to get rid of them. I mean, it's not a good pattern to have. And, you know, unfortunately, that's kind of where the Heat is coming from.
Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned Cashman. The other night I was talking about just New York sports in general, and I'm like, it's crazy that you guys made Fire Cashman shirts, had a Fire Cashman night, hashtag Fire Cashman for a guy that consistently wins, that is consistently in the postseason, that brings you good players. Like, when we look around at how long it took the Knicks to get right, even if we look at what the Rangers have turned into now, when we look at both football teams, when we look at the Mets, I'm like, look at the teams in town, right? There's been so much dysfunction, so much bad news, so much embarrassment. The Yankees don't have that embarrassment. They have one down year and go 82-80, and then they go to the World Series the next year after. So yeah. I like the parallel, and I know there's a lot of Yankee fans, Giants fans. I talked to Bob Papa a lot as well. Like, I feel like you guys are in a spot with the Giants where you got to stick with the guys you have. You got to see it through. It sucks. The 100 years to be this bad, to be a laughing stock, but you got to go through it to get to it. And what you're about to get to is potentially a number one pick or a number two pick and maybe a franchise quarterback. And I understand people saying, oh, it's been so bad, you know, you could fire these guys. But I think this is John Mara's toughest test yet. Like, do you really believe in the guys that you hired, or do you believe in firing these guys and you know, just kind of appeasing some fans and then starting all over? I am now in the camp of you have to complete the Holy Trinity. You have to let this GM and head coach draft their own quarterback, then make decisions. There's no point in just, you know, starting completely over right now. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I mean, I wrote the day after Thanksgiving, after they lost to Dallas, just the idea that, you know, John Mara needs to bite his lower lip and just hold on here. And, you know, it seems like that was 2 months ago. But the idea of, you know, bring them back for next year and see if you can turn that corner and truly appreciate the timeline here. Now, look, it's very easy to look at the numbers and say, well, they're going to be 2-15 and they're going to lose the most games at home in any team in NFL history. Well, first off, no team in NFL history has ever played 9 games at home because of the quirk in the schedule. So don't use that stat. You know, the fact that they haven't won a game at home, yeah, that's not good. But the reality is that, like, I've seen people use the statistic that since, I think it was the beginning in November of Dable's first season, and they give you that stat where, well, they've only won this many games and they've lost this many games since then. Everybody wants to say, well, look, they've failed for 3 years. They haven't failed for 3 years. They won 9 games plus a playoff game in year one. Now, did that change everything for them? And did that put them ultimately in a bad spot going into year two, if they were going to rebuild? Yeah, they probably had a little fool's gold. They felt like they were somewhere that they probably weren't. You know, everyone keeps talking about John Mara's, you know, we're back comment. I mean, look, he was after the game. You can't tell me there wasn't one Giants fan that sat, or just tell me there were a group of Giants fans that weren't happy that they beat Minnesota on that Saturday. You know, there's no way that they could have looked at that and said, a year later, this is where they're going to end up, and then 2 years later, this is where they're going to be. So I think the timeline of this whole thing, now they're actually in the rebuild spot where they probably should have been last year. You know, after 2022, they probably should have gotten rid of Daniel Jones and Saquon Barkley. And I believe Joe Shane would have done that. I believe he thought the best way to get this roster where it needed to be in 2022 was going to be basically clean house and start over. But when you go out and you win 9 games and you win a playoff game, there's nobody in their right mind, if Joe Shane had walked into John Mara's office and said, look, we're going to let Daniel go and we're not going to pay Saquon, and we know we just won 9 games and gave you the best emotional high that you've had since the Super Bowl, but this is the way I think we need to build this team, people would have run Shane out of town that year. Yeah. So, you know, I just think there's a lot of playing around with numbers right now, and the bottom line is they're not a good team. They didn't have a good year this year, but I do believe that they have a plan. And you know, I just think they should see it through. And yeah, maybe it is you don't want to see so much change. I mean, every 2 years, I mean, Dable's the first coach since Coughlin to actually get a third year, and we see what he's playing with right now. You know, guys get hurt, you know, they don't have a quarterback, Keith. That is the biggest issue here. I know everyone wants to talk about, you know, they're not going to be able to pick a quarterback. That what gives you confidence that they can evaluate a quarterback? Well, I'll tell you what, I've talked to people in Buffalo who will say that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll were heavily invested in Josh Allen when he was drafted. Mm-hmm. They are heavily invested in turning a rookie Josh Allen, getting him to the point where he could actually grow into the player that he has become. So everyone wants to look at Josh Allen now and say Josh Allen made Brian Daboll. It's just not fair, because you talk to people in Buffalo who know, and they tell you that without Brian Daboll in year one and in year two for Josh Allen, who knows if Josh Allen ever gets to that point. And that development is why Brian Daboll is even the head coach of the Giants. And you haven't really given him an opportunity to take a young quarterback out of the draft and say, you know what, this is going to be our guy moving forward. So, you know, that's where I'm at with that as far as these two guys coming back.
Yeah. There's obviously some regrettable decisions, but I think it would be the most regrettable decision if you move on from the coach and the GM that you hired, because you thought what they did with Josh Allen could translate to Daniel Jones. It did not, but Daniel Jones was not their guy. There would be regret if you don't let them pick their guy. We're on the phone right now with Art Stapleton. He covers the Giants and the NFL for NorthJersey.com and the USA Today. I mean, you went back to talking about Daniel Jones coming off that playoff win. He Yep. played the game of his life. And a couple weeks before that, the fans were chanting, Daniel Jones, Daniel Jones. So, like, you couldn't get rid of him. They kind of were forced to give him a contract at the market rate. It didn't work out. He got hurt, some other things with Saquon, whatever. But, like, now here we are where, you know, last year, the play of Tommy DeVito and what Brian Daboll was able to do with him kind of put you in a sixth spot where you missed out on the top three quarterbacks. Here you are this year. You're not going to be drafting six. I think, you know, you have to take one of Shedeur Sanders or Cam Ward. I'll ask you your opinion of the two. I think it's just going to be, you know, wherever the chips fall. I think if they're picking one, they have their choice, and they should probably take Shedeur Sanders, who has been vocal about, you know, coming to New York last weekend and wanting to potentially be here, and Deion saying that he wouldn't stop that. You know, or Cam Ward, who I think has great arm talent, is going to be a good project and a good NFL quarterback to work with as well if Shedeur goes to the Vegas Raiders. What do you think about the two quarterbacks? And I think it's 100% chance that they're going to end up with one of them.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's funny. I've said this a couple times and written it. You know, it's the dirty little secret in the NFL, right? You have to lose as many games as possible to get your best chance at swinging for a franchise quarterback that ultimately can change a team's fortune on a dime. Now, it could wreck your team, too, if you pick the wrong quarterback. But with Shedeur and Cam, all we're going to hear about is, oh, these guys aren't like they were last year, and they're not the guys from last year. And, you know, all it takes is one guy. I mean, we heard the same thing about Bo Nix, and now all of a sudden people want to know how come the Giants didn't draft Bo Nix, because they watched Bo Nix under Sean Payton's system. Sean Payton was probably the only guy who was going to draft Bo Nix in the first round.
Yep.
He took him, and Bo Nix so far has looked pretty good for him. But I will recall... for a lot of people, there was a quarterback in this town that threw for 330 yards, ran for two touchdowns, threw for two touchdowns in his debut, and you crowned him the next great quarterback in this town, and that was Daniel Jones. So let's not forget going into Sunday for Michael Penix with the Falcons. Everyone who wants to say if Penix comes out and cars up the Giants that Joe Shane and Brian Daboll should be fired because they passed on Penix. But to answer your question about Shedeur, I was told by several people who really dug in on the scouting so far on Shedeur and Cam Ward that Cam's ceiling is potentially higher than Shador's, but Shador's floor is much higher than where Cam's floor is.
Understood.
So that technically makes Shador a safer pick, but Cam is the more of a boom or bust quarterback. Now, what does that mean? Well, you know, you've got to kind of pick your flavor here. I mean, you know, once you settle the end of the season and you know what you're going to run in your offense, and if it's Brian Daboll back and if it's what Joe Shane wants in a quarterback, and those are the guys picking the quarterback, then you could actually move forward and see, okay, who do you want? Now, if you're the Giants, you know, again, everybody wants to talk about 2-15 and how, well, you can't finish 2-15 and keep your jobs. But if you know, if you're John Mara and you know, if you finish 2-15, it's very likely, well, number one, it's a guarantee that you're finishing no lower than second in the draft for next year. You're not going out to want to lose these games, but you understand that 2-15 is a means to an end. Now, if I had asked you, Keith, here's what you're going to hear all weekend. The Giants next week might go 0-9, winless at home. They haven't been winless at home since 1974. How many games did they win at home back in 2011 when they won the Super Bowl? How about in 07? Do you remember how many games they won at home?
Not a lot. And like nobody keeps that number. Nobody has a number. Like even if it's two, if it's three.
Exactly. The idea is that they have not given a good product to the home crowd. They haven't given a good product to the road crowd this year. But don't tell me that you don't want to be attached to the worst record in franchise history. You get a quarterback, everybody will forget. Nobody remembers what record they had in 2003. Why? Because the year later, they drafted from 4-1, essentially. The NFL draft was backwards back then, where you had to wait until, you know, the team picked your guy and what happened with the Chargers and the Giants. But nobody remembers what happened in Fossils last year in 03. They remember Coughlin came in and then they traded for Eli. You know, so this whole idea, I mean, you know, we're all focused on numbers and using these records against these guys when, look, I can't argue with it. If John Mara wakes up tomorrow and says what I see behind the scenes and what I see on the field, I made the wrong choice for Joe Shane and Brian Daboll. If he's going to make that call, then he's got to own that. But I just don't think the reality is whether you're 2-15 or 3-14 or whether you beat the Colts in the final home game, what does that do? It doesn't do anything. It wrecks your chances at having the best opportunity to get a quarterback. So I agree with you, Shador or Cam. I probably lean Shador, but I'm not opposed to taking Cam and working with his tools. And, you know, I got a chance to sit with him a little bit last week in a group, but myself and one other reporter were peppering him about the Giants in New York for about 20 minutes at the Heisman the day before. And, you know, seems like a humble kid, but very confident in what he can do.
Yes.
I've heard that about Cam, that there's not a throw that he doesn't believe he can make on the field. And I asked him about that, and he said, for me, it's about preparation and working every throw. And, you know, so I think he's got the right head to succeed in this city. But we've seen guys come and go. We've seen guys come and fail, and we've seen guys succeed. So I just think that's where the Giants are at. Unfortunately, they've got to play this game in the NFL where, you know, if this was a lottery, it'd be a little different story. And it's not a lottery. So you lose, the 2025 Giants gain. You lose, and the 2024 Giants shake their heads, and they absorb another really, really bad loss. So that's kind of where they're at. It's an unfortunate situation in the NFL, but that's the reality.
Yeah, I liked when Cam Ward talked about, you know, if Joe Shane comes to get me, then, like, he knows what's up. And
yep.
He said that I'll stay in New Jersey all day. There's a lot going on out here. Basically saying, like, the city was too crazy for him and that he has no problem staying in, New Jersey. Meanwhile, you know, Shador is shopping till he drops. He's going to all the fine, designer stores, Dior and Louis Vuitton, and, you know, walking around the city with shopping bags, whatever, to each his own. The kid has been rich his entire life. But no matter whether they go with Shador Sanders or Cam Ward or whoever falls to them, they need an offensive line. And the last thing for you is, you know, you talk about losing the rest of these games, and they're going to lose the rest of these games because they don't have the horses in the stable. And I saw your tweet that said, with Stinney out, undrafted free agent rookie Jake Kubas is likely to slide in at left guard for the Giants on Sunday. And then it had the injury report with, Bobby Okereke and Patrick Johnson. They're like, so many guys are hurt. So many guys are not practicing. So many guys are shut down for the year. You can't compete against a team that has healthy, talented players. It's an unfair advantage where, you know, you would need the ball to bounce your way 100 times in the game for it to even get done. So what can you say about, you know, the guys that are playing for the Giants and their chances against the Falcons this week, who are an 8.5 favorite?
You know, I think it's going to be all about Michael Penix for the Falcons and how the Giants defend him. The younger players for the Giants, I think there are guys to be encouraged by. I think on the defensive side of the ball, you know, you've seen Micah McFadden really the last month or so with Okereke being out. McFadden's had a very good year. He is not a perfect player. You know, he'll make, you know, 13 tackles in a game and he'll miss one or two and you'll just shake your head and go, man, that guy can't make every tackle. Well, yeah, I know. He can't make every tackle. He's a fifth-round pick from 2 years ago. You know, I think it's unfortunate that their corners have not played up to where you want them to be because they haven't been healthy. I mean, even when they've been out there, Tay Banks has struggled this year. He hasn't had a great second year. He was solid last year, a little inconsistent. So I don't know, between he and Cordell Flott, if those guys play on Sunday, can they perform, you know, at a higher level than they've played? But let's be honest, Keith, it's all about Malik Nabers and Tyrone Tracy. They have a chance to be, you know, and
yep, get whether, the numbers. Get yep.
Yeah, whether people want to appreciate it or not, 2014, the Giants did not win many games, and yet everyone remembers Odell's run at the end of that season and what he was able to accomplish. Well, Malik Nabers has 90 catches, and he has a 901 receiving yards. So he has a chance to get to 100 catches, which would break the rookie record for receptions in this franchise. This 100-year franchise that would break Odell's record, and it was matched by Saquon. So, you know, if you can beat a record that Odell and Saquon had as rookies, I think that's a good season. And I think there's an outside chance that Malik makes a run at Puka Nacua's NFL record for rookie receptions, and that's 105. And I think Tyrone Tracy can get to 1,000 all-purpose yards, and so could Malik Nabers. And I think having two teammates that can do something that only one other rookie tandem has done post-merger, which was 1970, and that was in 2006. It was Reggie Bush and Marcus Colston with the Saints. I think that's something that Giants fans could kind of wrap around. I mean, look, this is not looking at it going, well, we're only going to talk about the positives because this erases everything else. No, we all know the reality. They're a bad football team, but you've got to be able to hold on to something where, you know, you just don't know year one, year two turns into year three. And I talked to Malik Nabers about this. He said, we want to envision that we go through this as a rookie class this year so that 3 years down the road, if we're holding a trophy or we're celebrating at the stadium, we know what we went through as a rookie class and now we came out of it and we're now at that point where we can celebrate. And I think that's kind of what it's been about for these rookies, and it's been a hard learning experience. So we'll see where these Giants are come Sunday, but I know it's a very small population of Giants fans who will be happy if somehow they pull off the upset inside the Mercedes-Benz Dome down there in Atlanta. That's for sure.
Last thing for you, Art. What a guy. Daniel Jones sends his old offensive lineman limited edition bottles of Class A Azul. I'm more of a Casamigos guy, but I thought that was a nice story that popped up. Daniel Jones, you know, what a guy. Unfortunately, it didn't go great for him, but I thought that was solid that he still, you know, delivered a Christmas gift to the guys that blocked for him earlier in the season. Oh, did we lose Art? I think we lost Art. He heard Daniel Jones. He's like, nah, I'm out. No comment. Just kidding. I know he probably had something good to say, something nice to say about Daniel Jones. I think everybody had good things to say about Daniel Jones. That's it, though. 888-808-1019. Thank you to Art Stapleton for joining us. And now we'll get back to your calls. It's wide open for Giants calls, Jets calls, Yankees calls, Mets calls, hot stove, college football. I mean, Notre Dame is kicking Indiana's ass. I'm glad I didn't bet anything on that game. It's 17-3. They just showed Kirk Cignetti, whose offense averages 43 points a game. They've got three in the first half. It's not looking good. Art, you're back? Art's there still?
I'm back, Keith. Sorry.
Okay, all good. I wanted to get your last thoughts on the report that Daniel Jones sent limited edition bottles of Class A Azul tequila to his former offensive lineman. He did not have to do that.
He did not. Very cool thing by Daniel Jones. And, you know, I think no one ever doubted whether or not Daniel Jones was a good teammate. And I think it says a lot. I mean, he did play 10 games with this offensive line this year, more than half of the season. So I think that was pretty cool to do that for the holiday gifts. You know, you always hear of guys and quarterbacks and what they're doing. I mean, saw Brock Purdy gave five sequoias to his offensive line this year. And sequoias, I don't mean trees.
No, I know. Toyota trucks. I'm like, the math isn't math. And with what he makes, his salary, Toyota must have kicked in some kind of deal.
Yeah, but where Brock is planning on that $55 million a year deal that he's going to sign with the 49ers. But, yeah, I mean, good job by Daniel Jones. And I can tell you, you know, I think most people in this organization are rooting for Daniel Jones to do well wherever he ends up next, especially his teammates in that locker room. They respected him. They appreciated him. And I think, you know, he just shows who he is, you know, as a person, as a player, as a teammate. But, you know, it's not like the Giants treated him poorly. They gave him $82 million the last 2 years. So he can take some of that money and kind of give it back to his offensive line, that's for sure.
Art, enjoy the rest of your Friday night. Have a good holiday. Thank you for joining us tonight.
Absolutely, Keith. Happy holidays. Happy and healthy to everybody, you and your family, too.
888-808-1019. We got to hit the break. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back.
94.7 The Block and our sister station 101.9 WFAN present the quickest New York football preview with WFAN weekday evening host Keith McPherson.
Okay, I'ma use a Holman, brought to you by Slowmans. If you keep a score at home, then you probably noticed I've been rolling, haven't missed in a moment. I hit 7 in a row and I'm not just flowing, talk sports and I know it, got talent and I show it. Week 16, gotta keep the streak going, take the A, take LA, gotta take Green Bay. Kirk Cousins' ratings is lower than the NBA. Told y'all it was gonna be time for MPJ. Birds will do New York dirty like the MTA. I got more bars than Hoboken, no joking. Jets got more stars, but no coaching. Rams will find a way to win. They always leave the door open. These New York teams couldn't be more broken. The Saints are next up on the hit list. Packers will pack them up like overnight shipping. They're gonna be running like it's physical fitness. I'll be back next week after the two games on Christmas.
The quickest football preview brought to you by Sloman's Home Security. Real security powered by real people.
That guy sucks. I was just reading somebody on Twitter too. Like, somebody on Twitter was like, when he raps, cringe. Like, can you rap? Can you rap? You probably can't rap. It's a skill. It's a talent. I'm blessed to have the opportunity to do that every week on 94.7 The Block. Shout out to my guy, David Plotkin. He said he's going to submit it for an award. I don't know if I'll win, but I might get nominated for something. It was an opportunity that came up from the good folks at 94.7 The Block coming to WFAN saying, can Keith do a pick segment for us every week? And I said, this is a hip-hop station, an old-school hip-hop station. Can I pick an old-school beat and rap the picks every week? And I'm not going to hold you. It has been challenging with my sleep schedule, lack thereof, driving home, and it takes an hour to get home some nights. I'm not going to sleep till 3-4 in the morning. And my son is getting up yelling. My wife's trying to keep him quiet. Then I'm sleeping till 9-10, and then the day gets up on me, and I'm like, I got to write a whole rap. I got to record it in, you know, a solid one take, send it in. Shout out to Skip, and shout out to Connor for the assist on that today. 888-808-1019. So yeah, if you listen to that, week 14, all three of my picks were correct. Week 15, all four of my picks were correct because I picked the Jets, the Giants, and the two Monday Night Football games. And now going into this week, I'm taking Atlanta, I'm taking the Rams, and I'm taking Green Bay to win. So let's see if I can go 10 for 10. All right, now we're wide open for calls going into the 10 o'clock break and update. Let's take this Giants call from Jordan in Middletown, Connecticut. What's up, Jordan?
Hey, what's going on, Keith? Man, it's freezing up in Connecticut. Colder than a polar bear's toenails here. So
that's a bar.
I just, I didn't write it, man. There we go. I just wanted to talk about Art Stapleton's talking points there, man. He kind of missed the beat there, no pun intended, but, you know, half his time he spent talking about the numbers of how many Giant losses are at home, but the real fans are not talking about that, man. They're really talking about Brian DeBall and Joe Sheen's ability to make sound decisions. You know, I just kind of wanted to elaborate on that.
Yeah, I understand what you're saying. Thanks for the call, Jordan. I have been on both sides of it. When you look at the decision to move on from Saquon Barkley, go back. If you look at the decision to give Daniel Jones that contract, it didn't turn out well. It hasn't turned out well for Saquon Barkley going to your division rivals, you know, leading the league in rushing, being in MVP conversations. The Nick McCloud decision, like telling him he's got to take less money and then cutting him, and then that reaction, like it's hurt the locker room. And then even seeing guys like Xavier McKinney go on and have a great year. Julian Love. Leonard Williams, even Sterling Shepard is like a serviceable receiver this year with Baker Mayfield and the Buccaneers. It doesn't look good on the regime that has let these former Giants go, but you're shedding that old skin. You are moving into a new era. You're moving into a new era with the guys that they picked, that they drafted, and they will have flexibility to put more money, you know, into other free agents and bring some other guys into the room. So, you know, the focus, I don't think, can be on all the mistakes. I think Art did a good job in highlighting some of the good that, like, hey, this is a year where you will get to pick your franchise quarterback. This is a year where rookies that you picked contributed, and that's building blocks for the future. You have two offensive players that are going to stack 1,000 yards in their rookie season and then build off of that. So I know there's you know, two ways to feel about it. You could want these guys fired, or you could want to see these guys draft the quarterback. Ultimately, John Mara is going to make that decision. And I think more and more, like, what are they going to do? They're going to lose out the rest of the way. And he's going to stick with these guys because he said he's practicing patience. And I think they're going to pick the quarterback. And that can change literally the franchise in a second. 888-808-1019, 2 hours down. No, 3 hours down, 2 hours to go. 5-hour KM to AM returns right after this.